Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends of Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
Join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Hello, Wags of SCI family. Welcome back to another episode of the Wags of SCI podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
It's time for our much anticipated yearly episode rundown of being in the heat and how this affects quadriplegics, some paraplegics, depending on your level of injury, and how you can keep yourself cool and your partner cool in many different ways this summer. We have done this every single year since the podcast started, and it's one of our favorite episodes to do. It's one of our episodes where we have the most contribution from other Wags of SCI. We have some great ideas, so we will get into that in a moment. But at first, we would love to thank our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Robin Wishart of Wishart Brain and Spine Law. She is our official legal advocate of the group. She has been working behind the scenes for years, helping us with our own human rights cases and our own paid caregiver cases with our government and insurance. And Robin is an expert in brain and spinal cord injury. She has her own firm called Wishart Brain and Spine Law, where her and her team look after everything from serious injuries to insurance benefits paperwork to finding resources in your area. And she's a free advocate available to all our members. So if you want to learn more about how Robin helps the community and how she can help you, please visit wagsofsci.com and click on the legal resources tab. Or you can contact Robin directly at her website at brainandspinelaw.com. Our second amazing sponsor is Annalisa Squires and John Squires of Rolling in Paradise Adapted Equipment. They are a WAG and quad-owned business located in Florida, and they are VA approved for equipment of all kinds. Anything that you need to get out there and get active again, Annalisa and John can help you out. So please visit rollinginparadise.com and tell them that the Wags of SCI sent you. So let's get into it. This topic is one of our most common topics on the Facebook private discussion group and over email. We get so many questions over Instagram about any tips that we have, any tips that are popular in the community for helping to keep our partners cool in hot temperatures.
Mm-hmm. Keeping your cool while helping keep them cool, right?
For sure. And I think let's get into that. We'll get into that later on in the podcast of how you can keep your stress levels down and you can deal with the heat, not just temperature-wise. It takes a lot of work keeping our partners cool, and I think it's really important to acknowledge that. So we will get into that towards the end of the podcast. But first, let's talk about why this is important. Why should every WAG of SCI know and care about temperature regulation, and why should friends and family know about this?
Well, to begin the podcast, actually, I had this conversation early this morning with Dan over coffee about, from his perspective, because the perspectives are obviously very different from a caregiver standpoint of taking the responsibility to care for somebody else, especially when AD symptoms can arise from temperature change. And so I asked Dan, I said, what would you say are some great tips or tricks around what happens to your body when the sun comes out and, you know, you're in the heat of the moment, so to speak, and all your friends and family are inviting you for camping trips and barbecues and the sun is out and you want to be sitting out there. What, you know, I sort of said from your perspective, what do you think would be your number one piece of advice? And he said the very, very first thing that everybody should keep in mind is that don't get FOMO. So what does that mean? It means don't push it. So when you're first seeing signs and symptoms of overheating, or you're feeling a little bit off, maybe you feel a little dizzy or a little lightheaded, or like your body is really feeling warm, don't push it. He said, you know, listen to your body and realize that you're not like your able-bodied friends or family, and that you do need to take these warning signs as very serious so you don't end up being an emergency. And once, a lot of the time, for most wheelchair users with spinal cord injury, is by the time you notice the signs and symptoms, sometimes it can be a little too late and they'll linger for pretty well the rest of the day. And you could end up being in bed for the rest of the day. So that, I would say, is number one piece of advice before anything else, is really listening to your body and just get out of the sun. And you know, there will be other days that you can get back out. Get back out into the sun with your friends and family, but I guess regulate that. Take it slow, take it easy, and get into some shade and drink a plenty of water as soon as you can.
So for friends and family, or for women that are new to this lifestyle, why is it important? Like, why are we even talking about this? Like, you know, I know there's a lot of seasoned listeners that understand why it's important for quadriplegics and some T-level injuries to stay out of the sun, or at least actively regulate their temperature. But what are some of the symptoms of overheating, and why does this even happen? Like, just for people that that don't necessarily know.
So some of the symptoms would be like, you know, your blood pressure, the changes, and again, you almost feel like you're going to like pass out, because your body's not able to regulate the circulation of the blood properly, right? The signals are not being sent from your brain to your level of injury. So you're not necessarily even, there are quite a few quadriplegics that don't even have the sensation of feeling the heat on their, let's say their knees, if their knees are exposed, their faces, their cheeks, their arms. It can happen really, really quickly. So I guess you want to just really be mindful of that before it elevates to autonomic dysreflexia. What have you and Evan learned are the symptoms for him? Like, what has happened to him in the past that have made you realize that these are things to keep in mind?
Well, I was actually just, that's a good question, because I was just going to talk about how every single person is different. And like you said earlier, like really monitoring your own response to the heat is really important. And getting, like, let's just say you don't have any sensation and you don't have any internal sensations, just getting your partner to monitor your skin. And is it red and blotchy? Is it starting to look like it's white and blotchy and red in some places? I know that's what Evan gets on his stomach and his chest and his upper body, is he'll get like kind of like reddish. I can't even describe what it looks like. It just looks blotchy, red and white blotchiness all over his torso. And that usually means that he needs to have some cooling done. And so that's kind of the first sign for him, is and he needs to look out for that. And I look out for that. And we just basically, whenever that starts to happen, we make sure he gets a spray down with the hose on mist function. And that usually makes it so that it still stays a bit blotchy, but I find that over time with more active sun exposure and active monitoring, it gets less and less. But that for him is just means that his circulation is kind of a bit erratic, and his vascularity is moving in all weird directions and not really coherent. And so, yeah, visual representations of overheating is really important. So I would definitely say please make sure your caregiver is monitoring you if you can't feel internal or external sensations at all, because it creeps up on you. And, you know, Evan gets like a red face, and he'll get definitely just splotchiness, and he'll get some spasms. I guess he'll get increased spasms, but sometimes it creeps up out of nowhere. I remember when we were in Italy just a few months ago, it was not very hot out, and he was outside without his shirt on, and he was just getting some vitamin D, and he was starting to build his sun tolerance for the year, because he usually does that when it starts getting sunny out. He will spend some time outside every day for, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, just building his tolerance up over time. And so he started doing that in Italy, and it was, I would say it was like about, you know, 19, 20 degrees. And he was out there with the shirt off, and he, all of a sudden, he looked down and he had like a blister from the sun. And I was like, holy crap. Like, it just came up out of nowhere. There was like basically no warning signs. So
wow,
those kind of things happen, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's a good point. I mean, from the sun to have a blister is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because you could, I mean, obviously one could understand why you would get a blister from something hot spilling on top of you, like right. water or something like that. But mm-hmm. from the sun, that's almost like a magnifying glass sun exposure situation.
Yeah. And he learned a lot from that. Like, he was like, well, I didn't realize that, you know, even in lower temperatures where I'm not even that hot, mm-hmm. This kind of thing can happen, just because his body was so, like, every winter and fall and stuff, you know, here in Vancouver, we don't get much sun. So it just, he's not used to it. So he has to start going gradually. And I guess this is what happened this year. So that was interesting. pretty interesting. Does Dan have any stories recently about heat exposure?
You know what? I don't think that, well, since we've moved on the water, where we live on the seawall in Vancouver, we spend a lot more time, outside, just like out and about, and being close to the water basically is a huge reflector of sun. So, I mean, we do, I have noticed that we have to spend a lot more time in the shade as opposed to sitting out and being exposed to the sun, because it's just really, the water attracts the sun right onto you, and we're like little ants beside the magnifying glass. So one of the biggest things that we always do is bring a blanket, like a thin little blanket with us. And that could be just for the wind exposure, but also for sun exposure, just to cover his knees. I find that his knees are a huge target. They will burn up right away because they're, I guess, the most exposed, on the way that he's sitting in the sitting position there, that they just burn up quickly. So wear sunscreen, honestly. And we put sunscreen on his knees, I would say, over anything else, a little bit like on his elbows. But bring a hat, bring tons of water, stay hydrated. You're going to need it. And it's the quickest, best way to cool down. I mean, the biggest story, the number one story that I have for everybody, and I bring it up every year, was the year that Dan was discharged from rehab, and the rehab center that we were staying at, was able to give us a temporary place to stay while we were waiting for the transition from selling our home to going into a new rental unit and really having nowhere to go. So we were very fortunate to have this unit that was given to us through GF Strong. And the unit, it just happened to be one of the hottest days of the year when he was discharged. And I left him in the unit by himself, and I went out to gather all the medications that he needed for the time of discharge. And when I came back, his foot had slipped behind his foot plate, basically keeping him in one spot. He was unable to move. His leg bag was like explosive. It was beyond full. He wasn't able to move to the kitchen, where I had already soaked towels and put them in the freezer, and there was no air conditioning. It was so hot in that unit that the candles inside the unit started to melt. It was so, so, so bad. And that was the first time that we came face to face with autonomic dysreflexia. And it was just one of those, you know, it was just a term that was thrown around in rehab. We had very little knowledge of what it meant. And I remember specifically being like, oh my God, like, is he going to die? Are we going to need to go to emergency? Is this something we can sort out by ourselves? In hindsight, I probably should have called 911. But instead, I did what a wag of SCI in that position does. I went to the dollar store, bought a bunch of ice cube trays, and I actually wheeled him down into the closest grocery store. And literally, we sat in the freezer section with the doors open while he cooled off. It was absolutely horrifying. It was brutal. The whole situation, you know, it's always in hindsight, because the whole situation was extremely scary. If that had happened like tomorrow, I would have said, call 911 and let's go. But yeah, he had a pounding headache. He felt like his head was going to burst. All the blood in his head was going to burst. He was bright red. He needed to lie down. He needed to elevate his feet. He needed to do a lot of cooling, water, everything. He just felt sick to his stomach. It was a bad situation.
But you know, that is a really good idea for an emergency, going into a grocery store and going into the freezer section. And then I was also thinking about liquor stores, how they have like walk-in fridges and where they keep all the beers. I mean, if you've got to do, you got to do what you got to do. If those are cool places, if you're really struggling and there's an option to do that, that's a quick way to get the temperature down.
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I was sort of seeking, like, thinking, how can we seek some refuge? What is the fastest, the free, you know, something that's not going to cost us any money, something that's, you know, we have control over. If we go to ER, are we going to sit there for like 10 to 12 hours? Is it going to be worse? And that's part of, that is the reality, is do you really want to go to the hospital and sit in ER with the possibility of contracting something, like actually getting a cold from somebody else, or you never know, right? So
and what are they gonna do that, you know, that's better than you? I mean, I guess they have medications and stuff, but again, you're gonna be waiting, and who knows what kind of damage you're gonna be causing. But then again, these stories, for anyone listening, these are like worst case scenarios. Like, these are things that can be avoided. And, you know, we've all made mistakes with our partners. They've made mistakes. They haven't, you know, monitored themselves correctly. And it happens, right? But this is the reason we're doing this podcast, is that so that we can give you some ideas on how to prevent this from happening in the best possible way, and how to do it properly so that you don't have to get yourself in one of these worst case scenarios, because it is really scary. This is something that is a life or death situation. And it's not just AD. It's like your partner's organs could be affected, right? By temperature. And, you know, a lot of elders, this is one of the top causes of death in the summer for the elderly population.
Yeah.
So it is something that is very, very serious. And because our partner's central nervous systems are so, you know, just chaotic, this is something that we have to take very, very seriously. So why don't we get into heat prevention and proper cooling and proper temperature regulation? I wanted to add something new to this year's podcast discussing cooling that I actually learned on the Huberman Lab podcast. For anyone out there who listens, he's extremely informative. He's a professor at Stanford, and basically his whole shtick is he and his team analyze the latest studies when it comes to nutrition, human performance, a lot of stuff on emotional regulation, stuff like circadian rhythm. And he's got so much amazing information on, you know, even stuff like, you know, neurology and that kind of stuff and how the brain works. And so he has a really great episode about cooling. And the whole episode is devoted to how to cool yourself for better human performance. And so my partner and I, when we listened to it, and this was quite a while ago when we listened to it, I believe it's a year and a half, 2 years old. But in this episode, he outlines the proper areas that you need to cool your body in order to get the most heat out and get the most cooling in the shortest period of time. And he has a bunch of studies that go along with this advice, as far as studies that they've done at Stanford, but other universities over time, specifically to do with athletes and then also people that are just out and about walking or doing some sort of activity outside, and the way that you cool yourself the most effectively and how it impacts not just your performance, but your mental state and just your physiological responses in the quickest period of time. So I wanted to share this because we talk about this a lot on the private group about spraying the neck and the head. And a lot of the times I see that people forget about spraying the torso, but also spraying an area that is the most important area to spray and keep cool. And it's called the glabrous skin area. And he talks about it on the podcast. It's basically the face, the palms of the hands, and the bottom of the feet. And these areas are the body's areas where there's the least amount of hair. And it basically functions as a vascular area where the most amount of heat can be escaped from the body at one time. And so they found in these studies that with athletes or people, you know, doing activities that where they're sweating or, you know, whatever, they're trying to regulate their temperature. They found that if they cooled the face, the hands, and the feet specifically, and first, and they most actively cooled them, the longer they could perform, the better their physiology was, the better their temperature regulation was, and the cooler their body temperature was over time. And so I thought that was a really, really great takeaway. You can research this yourself. I highly encourage you researching actually the process of how this happens, because it's really interesting. Those areas of the body have different structures, different vein structures, different capillary structures, and they actually have bigger surface area in the veins. So they're called AVAs. So you can research that if you're interested in this. You can also find this on episode 19 of the Huberman Lab podcast. And that'll give you really good insight as to why it's important to cool these areas and keep these areas free of obstruction if they're trying to prevent overheating. So that's really important. Also really important, the area around the belly button for cooling. So when you're doing any of these techniques that we're about to discuss, make sure that you're paying attention to these areas because these are the most important areas. You'd think it would be the neck and the head. They are important. Get those, but don't focus on those. Focus on the rapid cooling centers of the body. So.
Awesome. Those are great tips because I feel like that's something we always think. It's like put a towel around your head, put a towel around your neck, put a towel maybe like or across your shoulders. But the belly button, hey, who would have thought?
Yeah, that's like the central area of like you just want to keep that cool. You want to keep maintaining that. But yeah, bottom of the feet, bottom of the hands, and the face.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense. I find that like even when I go to sleep at night, sometimes I run hot and I overheat. And a lot of the time I have to keep my hands and my feet like out of the blanket.
Interesting. Yeah, that's very cool.
And vice versa. Like, yeah. Think about when you and I would do our cold dips, our cold swims, cold exposure. Yeah. You know, you keep your head.
Yeah.
With a little hat on, you keep it warm and gloves on to be safe and water shoes to keep your feet somewhat warm.
Well, yeah. And even when you don't use that, even when you go up to your chin, those are the areas that get the coldest.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, make sure when you're doing your due diligence of helping your partner in the summer that you're also doing that, keeping those areas cool. So let's talk about the top ways to stay cool. I know this will be kind of like common sense for a lot of people, but I still think we should hit on all of these points in case you're forgetting something or in case you're new to this life and you just don't know, right? Because there's so many new wags joining us all the time, unfortunately, right? Where they just don't know. So let's talk about spray bottles and cool beverages. Why are these important?
Well, it's always nice to have a nice glass of cold rosé in the summer to keep the spirits
it's
up.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. No,
but in all seriousness, spray bottles are great to keep in the fridge. I know that they also came out with some misters. We had like the little S mister. That was pretty nice. I think you guys had one of those too, which is, it's nice because once you spray yourself down, the wind will catch that. The water will catch the wind and the wind will cause you to cool down, which is really, it's a great way to regulate yourself. And cold beverages cools your internal organs, keeps you hydrated. keeps you fresh, especially when you add a little bit of mint and cucumber in there, right? There's nothing better.
Yeah, for sure. And two things. That snake attachment. It's an attachment for an outdoor garden hose, and you can find them on Amazon. They're like $12.
Yeah, perfect.
And anyone out there who wants kind of a hands-off approach, because to be honest, using the spray bottle on your partner, it's a lot of work for the caregiver, especially if the quad doesn't have hands. It's very, yes. very hard. You're running back and forth to the fridge all the time. You're constantly monitoring. Whereas if you're using the S attachment, you can just set it and forget it and have the mist constantly on him. Doesn't mean you don't have to monitor it or have him monitor it. It just means it's a little less of the running back and forth mm-hmm. you know, that you can yeah, do.
100%.
And then secondly, I know there's a lot of quads out there that are concerned and caregivers about, like, they purposely don't drink as much as they should because they don't want to pee and they don't want to calf as often and they don't want to drain their bag as often when they're out at a barbecue or whatever. My response to that is get a bigger leg bag. Even if you have the ones, you can get bigger size thigh bags. You can get bigger sized silicone leg bags that go from the top of the knee all the way to the ankle. And then a lot of people use the night bags. I know, you know, one of the wives of SCI that we know, she actually put a black purse or a black kind of like gender neutral purse underneath her partner's wheelchair. And she stored the night bag in that, so it's not exposed, so everybody can see the pee. That's one of my pet peeves, is like seeing that when people are out and they have their leg bag hanging on the outside of their wheelchair, and it's just like, oh, I know it's unavoidable for some, but there are ways to cover it and make it more discreet. So I thought that was a really good idea. But those are some ways that it's just like, okay, if you can, if you have a bladder that expels by itself, that's just get a bigger bag so that you can feel free to drink more water and stay more hydrated and not have to drain your bag as often. So, yeah. So next thing, let's get into cooling towels that you can keep in the fridge or in like a bucket with ice. And then also those cooling snap towels that you can get at Target and Amazon.
I actually haven't even heard of the cooling snap towels. Those sounds pretty awesome. I know that we got something off of Amazon a couple years ago. It was like a gel cooling pack. And it is meant to go around, sort of bend around your shoulders, but the gel itself stays cold for quite a while. It goes around your shoulders, or you can kind of form it to your head or your lap. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I would honestly say we can't live without. We have two of them, so then Dan can alternate between one to the other one. But the gel itself is what stays cold for quite a while. And it's not, you know, when you put an ice pack on, sometimes it's like rough, it's hard. The gel is nice and smooth.
Too cold.
Yes, it's too
cold. It burns you.
Yes, exactly. So this has been a really great alternative. And again, I think it was like $30 off of Amazon.
But that's a really, really good idea, because that's also another way to keep them cool without having so much strain on the caregiver or the partner. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because like, you know, those, when you keep, it's good to have on hand towels that you can put in an ice bucket of water and you can just keep. But the thing is those get warm really fast with the body temperature. And you have to keep cooling them down and keep switching them around. And it's a lot of work, right? It's a lot of stress. So that's a really good way to kind of be a little bit more hands off. So the snap towel, it's for athletes. It was branded for athletes. I think LeBron James is on the front of a couple of the models of them. But basically, it's a towel that you get wet. You soak it in any temperature water. And then what you do is you wring it out and you pull the two ends, and it makes like a snapping noise. You snap it a couple of times and it cools down, which is really interesting.
That is really cool.
Well, it is.
It's like the opposite of those, you know, those like heat packs for your hands in the summertime.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like that, but cold.
Yeah. It's some sort of a chemical reaction. It is really cool to have those in your backpack. Let's just say you're caught out in the sun and you don't have any other access to cool temperature water, or you don't have access to a spray bottle. And you can have one of these in his backpack or your purse, and any temperature water, even seawater, you can dip it in and then snap it and it goes completely cool. And it's a good way to like kind of have something for on the go to prevent overheating. So I really like that idea. Next up, let's talk about the importance of covering up and shade and monitoring yourself that way. So that's, if you really want to be in the sun, definitely go for the water, the spraying, the garden hose, the cool towels, all that stuff. But a really, really good way to prevent overheating in the first place is to stay in the shade and to cover up with things like bucket hats, regular hats, breathable clothing. These are some things that people often forget about, and they'll dress in polyester or they'll dress in, materials that are man-made that are not necessarily the most breathable materials for clothing, and they'll get themselves into trouble that way. So if you can get your hands on 100% cotton, 100% organic cotton materials, wool, merino wool is super breathable in the summer, thin merino wool t-shirts and sleeveless t-shirts, definitely get your hands on those, because not only do they breathe, but they also dry really quickly. So you're not going to have like sopping fabric on your body for very long, which looks good aesthetically, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, they are a little bit more expensive. I will say that at first, like when you guys brought this up to Dan and I, we weren't sure. We're like, merino wool, it is not going to be like the same price as like your like Target t-shirt, but they last a lot longer. That's the biggest thing, is that the material, the quality, you'll have it summer after summer, winter after winter, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's also like, t-shirts, they're a dime a dozen, they get thrown out, they get wrecked. Stuff like that is an investment, and it's also an investment not just for like your skin health and just the host of other things that it helps temperature regulation wise, but also it's really good for the planet, and it's sustainable, and it's supporting, you know, sheep farmers, and that kind of stuff's really important to me. And so you can find a lot of stuff on sale, so just pay attention, find your favorite merino company and get on their email list and pay attention to when their sales happen and stock up as best you can. Even if you only have one item, it's worth it, right? Let's talk about zinc and how important zinc is when you're in hot temperatures, because I don't think people talk about this enough.
No.
About the cracks and the crevices and the underarms and the areas that don't see the sun, what this water and this sweating in weird areas of the body that happens to quads, what this does to the skin.
I was actually quite surprised to see that on our list this morning about the zinc. And I was reading it out to Dan. I was like, zinc, have you heard of zinc for keeping you cool? So that's awesome that you put it on the list. Why don't you explain to us why you use it for Evan in crevices and underarms?
Well, the thing is when you have a quad partner, skincare is really important. And a lot of the time when there's moisture in cracks and crevices, it creates abrasions or it creates rashes, or, you know, very similar to when, I don't know about anyone listening, but I know when I go out in dresses, if I'm not wearing either shorts or, you know, some sort of biking shorts underneath my dress, I'm going to have a lot of chafing going on. It's kind of the same thing. So when you're in hot temperatures and you don't really sweat, you do get clammy in certain areas of the body as a quadriplegic, and everyone's different, of course. But if you put barrier cream like zinc in those areas, and you can find some really natural brands that have like a 40% level of zinc in it, it basically protects the skin and forms a barrier so that the chafing and the rashes and the irritation from extra water on the body that's being sprayed and extra heat that's being created in all these areas doesn't affect the skin, which is very, very, very important to monitor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Not to mention that you're in a sitting position where, right, of course, you will have areas that when sweat happens, if you do sweat, that when sweat happens, it pools. And that is the biggest difference, is that you're unable to control the movement of airing yourself out.
Right. And I remember a little while ago, we were talking to a one wag whose partner, they live in a hot area in Texas, and her partner had a really, he was a para, but he had a big problem with sweaty ass. And like, he put like, he, like she she tried everything, like towels and all that stuff, but all of this stuff creates more irritation. So finding a really, really, really high quality, high percentage zinc supplement or zinc supplement cream that you can put on your body. It's absorbs in the body. Zinc's also very good for you, and it does get absorbed into the skin. So yeah, find a good zinc cream, put it under your armpits. It also prevents smell. My husband doesn't use deodorant. He just uses a thin layer of natural zinc. And not only does it absorb through his skin, but it also prevents him from smelling at all. So he doesn't have to wear deodorant. So it's just a good all-around thing to have in your quad wife or para wife toolkit. And especially for the summer seasons, like you don't want to get redness and chafing so that they have to stay out of the sun, right?
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, to wrap it up, make sure that you always wear a hat of some sort of a hat. Bring it with you. Get a bucket hat. Those are kind of cute. Bring an umbrella. Keep yourself nice and shaded in and out of sun. And of course, how do we as caregivers handle the stress? How do we keep ourselves cool while keeping our partners cool? For me, it's preparation. Be prepared, have everything ready and easy to grasp at your fingertips. Be prepared, have these things stored in your fridge for those hot summer days. Take breaks, make sure that you battle FOMO, because it's like, you know, you don't want to go home early or you don't want to get out of the sun early because your friends and family are out there. Just remember that there will be many more occasions, and a lot of the time our friends and family are really excited that we came out in the first place. So you're not letting anybody down by heading home or getting out of the sun. And there'll be many more occasions to participate and join in on all the fun. And bring popsicles. If you can bring popsicles, I saw the coolest thing ever. I saw somebody storing popsicles in a thermos. Like if you have like a really great thermos.
Yeah.
Throw some freezies in there.
That's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea. I love that advice about being prepared, though, because how many times have we been caught out and about? I know myself, where I've just been like, oh my God, why did I not prepare a bag before I came? Because when you're going out for a day trip or you're going to the lake or you're going, you often don't think about every single thing that you need. So like keeping some sort of a beach bag in with all the things that you need that we mentioned in this episode and things that you personally have discovered along your journey as a partner to someone with an SCI, putting it, you know, in a bag in the cupboard, you know, for when you need it is a really, really good idea. Just because, yeah, a lot of the times my partner's bag can't fit all of the stuff we need. So having that extra supply, either in the car or in your laundry room or wherever you can put it, so it's there ready, is just, it's almost like emergency preparedness, right? And that's always on the bottom of everyone's list. But then, you know, if there is an emergency, you really, really want to be prepared. So that's really, really good advice. And I think we could all learn a lot from being more prepared and organized. I really like the whole set it and forget it thing, where I like to take the responsibility off of myself as much as possible. Not as far as the reality of the responsibility, because at the end of the day, I'm a primary caregiver. I'm responsible for the care of my partner. But I don't like to think about it that way because it puts a lot of pressure on yourself. And so for me personally, I like to kind of use the S snake, you know, hook it up to the garden hose, make sure it's on my partner all the time so I can be a little bit more hands off and I don't have to be so paranoid about making sure he's always getting sprayed. I like to make it so like what you were talking about, things that they can do themselves to keep themselves cool and kind of taking responsibility for their own skin and their own skin health. And that really takes the mental responsibility off of me. So I don't feel as accountable or as responsible for every single thing. That is huge as far as, for me anyways, as far as like maintaining my cool, is like just realizing that not all of this is in my hands and it doesn't have to be in my hands. And there's different mental ways you can reframe your tasks that you have to do, A, by being prepared, but also B, by shifting some responsibility to technology and to your partner and to other things, like setting reminders for yourself so that you don't have to have all of this stuff in your brain at once, because that is a recipe for, you know, extreme overload, which I do not do well with. So,
And avoid the anxiety. Do yourself a favor. Do you and your partner a favor. And that one of the other things I'm going to quickly mention is there's nothing worse than wanting to go out. Let's say you wake up in the morning, it's a beautiful day, you want to go outside, but you're not prepared. You don't have these things set aside, you know, so you can't really participate without having that side anxiety of what if. So avoid it by being prepared and plan a really fun day. Limit the exposure, get an umbrella, get the heat, get a hat together, pack a cooler, put those freezies or popsicles in the thermos, get the sunscreen, and do a little bit of sun exposure, like Brooke was saying, over a period of time, which will help your partner from not getting blisters on their belly. And just have a really fun day.
Yeah, it's true. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode with all of our advice for this year. And if we missed anything, we would love to hear from you. Please email us anytime at wagsofsci@gmail.com and let us know what we should discuss next time we do one of these episodes, because they're always really, everyone always likes them. Everyone always shares them. And everyone also has their own ideas that work for them. So please feel free to chat with us about it anytime. We're always available on Instagram, on Facebook, on email, on our website. And stay tuned for our next episode where we dig into more juicy topics around the WAG of SCI life.
That's right. So until then, have a hot quad summer and stay safe and love each other. Cheers.
Cheers.